Ecclesiastes chapter 11. For those of you who attend our Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class in here, you know that we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and we were in chapter 11 this morning. And one of the verses needs more exposition than what we gave during the Sunday school class, and so we're going to speak about verse 9 in greater detail. For all of our benefit this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Many of us, some of us are living our childhood now, and some of us have lived our childhood. Some of us never got out of our childhood. A friend of mine who was here in our church has now moved to another state, was reading through his Bible, and he made a little mark in there where, I don't know, during a lesson or something, I took his Bible this way so I could show him something, and I actually ripped the top of the page, and he put a mark there that I did that. And he said, when he got there, he took a picture of it and sent it to me by text. And I laughed. I said, you know, still a kid at heart. Still a kid at heart. But, you know, what he's encouraging young people in verse 9 is to rejoice in that youth. Because you only get it for a little while, and then you're not a youth anymore. And while you're there, you should enjoy those days, and your heart should cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And, you know, I love to be around children. Because they want to have a good time and they want to do fun things, and they say they will keep you young, and that's true until they wear you out. But and it's funny, like when they want to play a game, hop, let's play a game. Okay, we're going to play a game. What do you want to play? Let's play Go Fish. We play one round. Let's put that away. What do you want to do now? Crazy Eight. Oh, really? Okay. Just about the time I'm getting into Crazy Eight, maybe got a chance to win. They're on to Candyland or Sorry or, you know, I mean, it's just like, what? But that's how they are. And it says, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. You have something you want to do, do it. If you have something you see, go after it. And there's a certain amount of that, but he tempers that statement by saying, just remember that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And it's a limiting factor that says, while you're enjoying those things, while you're pursuing those things, and you should, you need to remember there is a limit on the fun you have and the direction you go, because whatever you are involved in, you still have to account to God for what you've done in that time of your youth. So it puts a real limitation on certain things that you're going to go after and certain things that you're going to experience. And that's really good. And as we discussed in Sunday school this morning, I can certainly look back and realize, had I applied that verse in my youth and had I desired to do so, there were certainly some decisions I made that would have been very different than the ones I made. Is that true? That's really true. So he says here, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And that's the part of this verse that we want to talk about this morning. For all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. I think about, for instance, you know, there's a lot going on about elections, and there are people that want to run for office and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not something that I would want to do. For all the reasons that you can imagine. But I think one of the things that is probably not running through the mind of most people that are running for a position, running for an office, an elected position, I don't think they're thinking about the higher powers that be are ordained of God. I don't think that they think of themselves as ministers of God, oftentimes. And one of the things that puts the fear of God in me about holding an office like that is, you have to give an account of all of that to God one day. And there are a lot of pressures that are imposed upon people in political offices. They have donors. They've received political contributions, and they obviously have some sense that they owe at least a hearing to the people that have helped to put them in office. They have constituents. They have their own compass, if they have one, about what's the right thing to do and what's wrong. They have the law. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of competing, potentially competing pressures on them in a position like that. Saul is a perfect example of somebody that had a really hard time reconciling his position of authority with the demands of the people. And it really got him in a lot of trouble. Well, I don't want to track the lesson and go off in that direction. What I'm trying to say is that we all have to be aware, no matter. We have to be aware. As dads, we have an accountability. As wives and mothers, we have an accountability. As husbands, we have an accountability. As children, you've got an accountability, and the person you're going to answer to ultimately is God Almighty. You cannot escape the fact that one day you will face God in judgment. There's no getting around it. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's coming. You say, well, I'll concern myself with it later. You can't concern yourself with it later. You have to be concerned about it all the time. You say, why should I be concerned about it all the time? For me, it's still a long way off. I'm young. And I won't face that judgment for a long time. As I get a little bit older and a little bit more mature, I'll start concerning myself with that. Solomon said, no, even in the days of your youth, you have to be concerned about it. You say, well, I'm very young. Yes, I know, but you do know what's right and you do know what's wrong. You knew what was right and what was wrong before you could spell right and wrong. You did. And you might not have known it was sin. When you learned that it was sin, by the fear of God, hopefully you began to concern yourself about your destination as well. But every person in this room, the person speaking, all of us listening, we are all going to stand before God in judgment. And you say, well, what is that judgment going to be like? Well, there are many verses of Scripture in the Bible that deal with this judgment. I think what we'll do is just narrow it down to about four different areas of judgment today. And the idea is, once you've seen these, you'll realize, listen, that the judgment before God is comprehensive. You say, what does that mean? It means it covers everything. He doesn't leave anything out. God is the judge, and because He is the judge, He will judge. And because there is a day appointed for our judgment, you will stand before God, I will stand before God, and we will give account. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God, the Bible says. You know who that exempts? No one. You say, well, I don't think it's fair that God would judge me. It doesn't make any difference whether you think it's fair or not. I will tell you this, God is a fair judge, but you still have to stand before Him. And the question is, are you ready for that? You say, well, what is He going to judge? Okay, you're in Ecclesiastes 11. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And let me pause for just one second. A lot of times when I'm preaching on Sunday morning, because I don't want you to have to keep turning to passage and passage like a Sunday school lesson, I try to keep the momentum of the sermon going by preaching and just referring to the text. But you know what I'm saying doesn't mean nearly as much to you as what God said. And so as we look at this sermon today, we will actually turn to passages and see for ourselves what He said. So if you don't remember what I said, that's pretty inconsequential, but you do want to remember what He said. Okay, and in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which is the next chapter, here's what He said. Verse 14, God shall bring every work into judgment. So how much work is He going to bring into judgment? Every work. Every work. So the first thing we want to notice about this judgment that we have, this appointment of a judgment before God, is that He's going to judge, listen, what you do. Every work. He's going to judge what you do. All right, so when you're working for an employer and the employer has a job description, has a policy and procedure manual, your employer looks from time to time, if they have reviews, at what you're doing and sort of grades you on your work. The idea is whether to keep you around or whether to give you a promotion or what. So God is very much like that. He is examining what you do. He's going to know how you did it. He's going to know why you did it. He's going to know when you did it. If he told you to do it now and you decided to do it way later, that's accountable as well. You understand? It's not just that you got the job done, it's how did you do the job. Do you understand? If somebody says to you, if somebody gives you an assignment, you can do it to the minimal and quote unquote get it done. Or you can do the job right. And it won't be inferior. It'll be well done. It will be done properly. It will be done in a way that will last. How you did it matters. How you did it matters. And why you did it. What was your motive in it? You know, somebody said, oh, isn't he so sweet? I didn't think he and his wife were getting along. He gave her flowers for his birthday. Yeah, but what you didn't know is she's allergic to flowers. I mean, why you do something does have an effect on what's going on here. And God understands that. God is very much into the motive behind the thing. I remember we were in school, in the Bible school, and every beginning of every semester, we always heard the same speech. You know, the you guys that are A students that are making A minuses, you're going to stand before God and get judged for that, where the guy that's a C student makes a C plus or a B minus is going to score out better than you. Because he's doing more than he could have, and you're doing less than you should have. And God looks at that stuff. And so he's going to check why you did it. What was your motive? Were you doing this to get personal recognition? Were you doing this because you wanted people to notice you? You know, he scathingly rebuked the Pharisees. Because everything they did in fasting and prayer and giving was to be seen from other men. And you know what he said? They've received their reward. When they stand before me to be judged for that, nothing. Because they did it for the wrong reason. And oftentimes when you do something and you do it, it looks good to everybody else, but you do it for the wrong reason. God's up there going, that doesn't count. As a matter of fact, that may be a deduct. Because he's trying to get glory for himself when he should have been doing it for my glory. All right, so how you did it, why you did it, when you did it. He said do it now. You decided to do it later. God said I needed you to do it now. Not later. It's better that you did it at all, that you did it later than not at all, but it's better to do it, right? You know that's how it goes with some parents, particularly parents that have some military bearing. So when do you want me to do that, Dad? Now! Okay. I just thought maybe I could watch that. No, you can't. You can do it now. All right, so God's real good about that. You know, turn with me. We're going to be back. Don't lose your place here. I got to come back to this passage in Ecclesiastes 12, but let's look at a little bit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice there's going to be a judgment for work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is not an unfamiliar passage to most of you, but it bears our perusal in the context of a judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul said, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let how many men? Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. See, God's interested on how you do your work. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are quality building materials, wood, hay, stubble, those are not lasting building materials. Every man's work shall be made manifest. How much work is going to be manifest? Whose work? Every man's. Right, is going to be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So what he's going to do is he's going to take what you've done in this building process for him, run it through a fire. If it was wood, hay, and stubble, what's going to happen? It's going to burn. If it's gold, silver, and precious stone, what happens? It's refined. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. He's interested in the quality of the material you used. The how of it and the method of it. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, hey, he shall receive a reward. The judgment before God is not all bad if you did it right. Let me say it again. The judgment before God is not all bad if you did it right. Try that one more time. The judgment before God is not bad if you did it right. There's a reward there. That's a good thing. That's an incentive. And it should be. Somebody said, I don't care if I get a cottage on the backside of heaven. When you get there, you'll care. Yeah, you'll be like, oh man, I blew that. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, no doubt. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So the Lord said, I'm very concerned about why you do what you do, how you do what you do, when you do what you do. And I'll reward it if it's done right, and I'm not going to reward it. I can't reward if it's done wrong. I won't, as a matter of fact. And you need to know that. Look again in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We want to be thorough here because, listen, you're here. And there's no doubt in my mind that you have some interest in pleasing God. You're here. Well, if you want to please God and you want to do well at this judgment, you ought to know. I remember when we were in Bible college, man, we were working all day. Many of us were raising families, and we were going to school 4 hours a night, four nights a week. There's a lot of load. So one of the things they did to help us is kind of gave us an idea of the general areas that we were going to be tested on. That helped. May I tell you something? God gives you specific areas that you're going to be tested on. He doesn't want this to be a surprise to you. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the what? Reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. I will not be able to stand before God and say, but God, I was the preacher. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. You did wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong. You did right, then you get rewarded. Do you get this? You say, yeah, but who does this apply to? Solomon said it applies to the youth. You say, I'm just in the teen class, you know. I'm just in the teen class. Why is it always like that? It sounds like a nervous laugh, you know. Yeah, but you're old enough to know better, and you need to be prepared. You're going to stand before God and be judged. And he's going to judge what you've been doing and why you've been doing it and how you've been doing it. Mom and Dad tell you, take out the trash. Oh, again. Deduct. Took out the trash. Yeah, but that attitude stank. No credit. But God, that's right, you nailed it. I'm God, I judge that, I knew why you did it. Pfft, stinky attitude. See, because what you didn't realize is your parents saw that and they're like, rebellious kid, and your brothers and sisters saw that, and guess what? They ended up with the same stinky attitude you had. Now that I think about it, more deduct. Next. Wow, this is tough. Yeah, because he's God. Because he's God, and he wants it done right, heartily, as to the Lord, right, and not unto men. You serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Listen, I'm not preaching hard judgment on you because I want you to feel like, oh man, God's such an ogre. He will reward when you do it right, but he's going to get you the other way as well when you do it wrong. And you need to know that about God. We kind of live in a society now where God wants to be, everybody wants God to be a fuzzy, loving, everybody, it's okay. I know I cussed, I know I did all these bad things, I know I didn't do anything you said in the Bible, but they all tell me you're a loving God. Yeah, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. Come on in. We love you. Here, give them a gold star for participation. God's not like that. Not like that. God's, I'll show you how he is, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You listen, this is not your pastor just standing up here trying to scare you. This is your pastor telling you the truth. And you don't hear much of that, and certainly about this topic out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. When we all get there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must, how many of us? All right, so that's like everybody that's in here today, okay? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, That how many of us? Everyone. That is all that are saved. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. I said, he's going to judge what you do according to that he hath done, whether it be what? Good or bad. Look at the next verse. Knowing therefore the goodness of the Lord. Is that what it said? Is he good? Yes, and it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. But he said, knowing therefore the what? The terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You say, you're trying to make this out pretty terrible. That's because it is. That's because it is. We want you to know the terror of the Lord. Now. So you can be persuaded that, wait a minute. Though I'm a youth and I'm supposed to delight in the things that I see and go after things in my heart, I can't do that because I've got to give account to God for that, and I'm not going to do that. You want me to do what? Sorry. That won't pass the judgment of God, and I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. Amen. Amen. That's for sure, for sure, for sure. Listen, it works not only on the things that you do, but the things you should have done that you didn't do. Acts of commission and acts of omission. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 is right before the book of Revelation. Yeah, in that vicinity anyway. In that vicinity anyway. James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. All right, look at this. It not only what you did, but what you should have done that you didn't do. All this comes up. All of it. Every one of us. All the work. James chapter 4 verse 17. Therefore... Okay, we're still turning. We're going to get everybody there because I want to see, you to see it. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You come here, you know, and you're like, I get so tired of hearing those Bible believers tell me I need to read my Bible. That's a good thing you're supposed to do. And the Lord said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And you didn't. And he says, well, I'm judge that too. Because you knew you should have. See? And that's just a simple thing. There are many things like that the Lord puts on our heart. And he says, I want you to do that. I want you to do that. Why? Because I'm going to judge it. Now, ultimately, God has put all this in there because he wants you to look at this and go, wow, the judgment before God is terrible. I'm supposed to do what I do as to the Lord and not unto men. He's going to reward if I do it well. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to do it well. Why? Because that pleases him now and it judges well for me later. Isn't it foolish to know that you're going to have to stand before God for the things that you do and decide right now, well, I think I'm going to do something stupid. Okay, that doesn't go well for you now, and it's not going to go well for you at the judgment. It's kind of like, why would you do that? Well, it's because I wanted to do. Okay, well, get over some of that, okay? Amen, seriously. Get over some of that, because there is a judge. And he will judge everyone and all the work that you do and that I do. We're all subject here. You know, the great thing would be for us to leave here in the fear of God going, man, I need to be a little bit more careful about what I'm doing these days. Amen. Amen. Then this has been a good message. But that's not all he's going to judge. Oh, no, not really. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and notice in the same verse, in verse 14, not only does he judge what we do, but notice Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Aren't you glad you put something there when I asked you to? Because it got so easy to get back there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring how much work into judgment? Every work with how many? Every what? Secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I mean, this is the time of year where it's naughty and nice, right? Okay. Just, you know, everybody likes to connect things to the season. Okay, there's my connection. God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God not only judges what you do, God judges what you hide. I don't know if I'm safe to say everybody here has a secret. But pretty safe to say that a lot of people here have secret things. You got something going on in your life that other people don't know about, but I know somebody who knows. He knows. He's going to judge that too. Nobody else knew that. That too. See, God cannot help but see all that he sees. And the thing about God is he sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. He can't help but see it all. That's just how he is. But he just wants you to know, if you've got something you're getting away with here, you're not going to get away with it there. It's interesting being in the ministry because there are times when people have some kind of a secret thing that's been going on in their life, and either it comes out because it got exposed, they got caught, or it comes out because they're sick and tired of it and they're like, "Preacher, I need some help now." And may I tell you what, it's always very shameful when something like that comes out because it's done in secrecy, knowing that if other people knew about what it is that's going on here, they would be like, "What are you doing?" Well, if you're concerned about what people down here would think about it if they found out, imagine what it's going to be like standing before God when you find out what he knew about what you thought you were getting away with that nobody else knew. That's a pretty big sentence, wasn't it? Yeah. When I can't do that anymore, I think I'm probably getting too old for the job. But Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. You say, is God really going to judge that? That's what the Bible says. You know, if you have to do it in secret to get away with it, you don't need to be doing it at all. Amen? I'll say it one more time because many of you were looking around for Romans 2:16. If you have to do it in secret to get away with it, then you oughtn't to be doing it at all. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall, next word, judge the what? Secrets of men. By Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Man, I'm telling you, right now, wouldn't it be something if the Holy Spirit just moved in here in a very powerful way? People were always talking about revival. Oh, man, if the Holy Spirit would just do this in my heart and yours as well and just blow the thing open and say, shine this super bright light of the Word of God and the presence of the Lord God. Whoa, right now, I'm talking about that thing going on in your life right now. Get it out. Get it out. Boy, that'd be a good thing. Why? Because we wouldn't have to worry about it showing up there because it's not a secret anymore. It's not that you have to go tell all the world, but you and God have to get square on this. He doesn't need this in your life anymore, and you really don't need this in your life anymore. And you're like, well, does he really, really see it all? And is he really, really going to bring it up at the judgment? What do you think? What do you think? He said he's going to bring it up. He's going to judge the secrets of men. That's what he said in Romans 2:16. And he's going to take and bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, even the one you thought that would never get brought up. One more time, so get it really, really well exposed. Look at Hebrews 4:13. Verse 12 will be the context. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 is the verse we want, but 12 is the context. Why? Because we're actually doing verse 12 right now, and hopefully God will be doing verse 13 right now, and some things are going to change before you leave here today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 for the context. I'm just waiting until I quit hearing pages turn, and then we'll know everybody's there. The great thing about a Bible-believing church is you all got Bibles and all the pages are turning. That's a wonderful thing. I remember years ago, we were, I don't remember what it was, it wasn't here, we were still in Beeville at the time, and I got the idea that we were getting ready to build a building, we ought to see what other churches are doing, and I sent out some people, I said, why don't you go and just, what's going on in other churches? Are we missing something? And one of the couples came back and said, wow, we went to this one church, there were like 500 people there, and it was amazing how friendly all the people were. Everybody came up to us and said, thank you for visiting today, and we're like, wow. This is one of the friendliest churches we've ever seen. So the last couple that came up to us, they're like, we're so glad to have you. And he said, there's 500 people here. How did you know that we were the visitors? Said, oh, you're the only ones here with Bibles today. Ooh, I said, I don't think we need that. I think we need to be friendly, but I don't think we need that. No, you got Bibles here today, and you've turned to Hebrews chapter 4. We're looking at 13, but 12 for the context. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we're preaching the Word of God right now, and God's two-edged sword is piercing right down into your heart, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Watch it, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You're not getting away with anything. You're not getting away with anything. Yeah, I know, but if you've got some secret thing, you're hiding some secret thing in your house, as soon as you get home today, destroy it. Let me try that again. You're hiding some secret thing in your house, as soon as you get home, destroy it. If you're secretly going to places on your phone or your computer and then having to hide your history so nobody ever sees it again, destroy it. If you got something that's going on secretly, of some secret affection, some secret thought, some secret intention, some secret thing, stop. When? Now. Now. Be done with it. Say it's hard. I grant you that. But it's not going to get any easier if you wait another month. Stop now. Make it go away by the grace of God. Because you're going to give account. You will stand before God to be judged on what you do and what you hide. Are we clear on that? I'll tell you something else that you're going to come up with before the Lord in judgment. It's found in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is the third thing, and I told you we'd look at four. Because you're getting a view now. You say, oh, well, he didn't touch on that thing. Believe me, it's in the Bible. Okay? You're getting enough of an insight into God and His judgment to understand you don't get by really with anything. So He's going to judge what we do. He's going to judge what we hide. And He's going to judge what you say. Matthew chapter 12, look with me in verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I say unto you that how many idle words? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now this verse, the second part of this where it says there in verse 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, is going to actually bleed over into and connect with the next point. But we want to concentrate on verse 36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, sometimes we think we're safe in certain company to say something that we would not say in public. Yeah. You know, I'm staying here to say this, that, or the other thing. But I might be tempted if I was with somebody that I thought was a real close confidant, I'd say, well, and the Lord's like, really? I know you don't want them to know, but guess what? I know. And I'm going to talk to you about that when I see you. Every idle word. Listen, it takes us a while because we're a lot of us are like this. If you can't say it privately for public consumption, don't say it. You know, a lot of people have been exposed because they were somewhere and somebody captured it on video and nobody in the world knew it, but then they played that video and it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know you thought that, and you just lost your job. If you can't say it privately, if you can't say it publicly, then don't say it privately. Because the Lord is watching. He's listening. He hears all that stuff. And He's like, why did you say that? Well, I mean, I understand to quiet a crowd because we've all found ourselves in situations like this. Okay? But we need to watch out for that. Why? You say, because God's going to judge what you do, and God's going to judge what you hide, and God is going to judge what you say. Because it's what you you say it here because that's what you really believe, but you don't say it here because, you know, if they knew you really believed that, you would be ostracized. You can't put that on your soul. You put a lot on social media, but you don't put that on social media. You wouldn't dare. Isn't it amazing how quiet a church building can get? It's amazing. Psalm 139. Proverbial pin drop, right? Psalm 139, verse 4. Great chapter in the Bible, but we'll just take verse 4. Psalm 139, verse 4. For there is not a word. How many are those? That's just one, right? A word. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You say, God can keep track of all that? He's an amazing God. If he can count the number of hair on your head, mine's changing all the time. It's a subtraction now, okay? But but yeah, he keeps track of all that stuff. Not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, whew, thou knowest it altogether. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, the further I'm getting to this message, the more it just strikes the fear of God in my life. And I think it should. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We should be persuaded. Because God hears everything we say. Privately, you know. What was that thing about the kid one time? He's in the back seat of the car. Dad's railing on the preacher again. Somebody said, you know, yeah, most that family, you know what they do? They have roast chicken for lunch every Sunday. Well, that family over there, they have roast preacher every Sunday. that fella's in there. He's ragging on the preacher one more time. The kid's in the back seat. He said, well, what do you expect for a dollar, Dad? All that stuff, God's keeping track of it. Do I really want to face that before God? You might find it acceptable if God doesn't. You know, the Bible says the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. We should know better about what we say and what we shouldn't say. You say, well, I really want them to hear that. Well, why don't you swallow that and don't even let God hear it? And it'll be better for you in the future as well as now. God's gonna judge what we do, what we hide, what we say, and then this. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. Most of us in this room already know what I'm going to say, but listen, I don't know that everybody in this room knows this. And you need to know this. God's going to judge what you do, what you hide, what you say. Listen, God is going to judge what you believe. John chapter 3, verse 36. God is going to judge what you believe. I realize, before I read the verse, I realize that on Sunday morning, 99.9% of the people here, if not 100%, are already saved. And so when I preach the gospel in a message like this, you're like, okay, he's on the gospel again, and I'm already saved. May I tell you, if there's one person here who isn't, for their sake, we should be prayerfully praying that God will help them get the message. Right? Let's don't be impatient with that. This is a very important aspect. And those who've heard the story are the ones that love it most. You never get enough of it. But listen, John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. God makes that judgment. You believe my Son, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but listen, the wrath of God abideth on him. If you are here today and you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, the wrath of God is on you now. We preached one time and had some tracts. City employees were working on a pipeline, a water line there in Beeville. We stopped. They were just, you know, right? The backhoe was digging, so the rest of them were supervising. So we passed out tracts and did a little preaching right there like that. And the guy that I was talking to says, I think I'll wait on the judgment. Yes, well, you don't have to wait long because it's taking place right now. John 3:36. If you don't believe, you're not going to see life, and the wrath of God abideth on you now. You don't need to wait on the judgment. God already told you. This is how he's going to judge what you believe. Or should I say who you believe? Or should I say who you believe? Look with me in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. See, it goes like this. It's a very simple deal. You either do or you don't. You either have him or you don't. You're either righteous or you're damned. Look at it here in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Get this very... I'm right in the middle of a context, but I'll help you with the context. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam. Adam sinning in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment, that's what we're talking about, came upon whom? All men. To what? Condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon whom? All men unto justification of life. So it's either condemnation or justification. Do you see it? You hear that you're either condemned or you're justified. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were sinners, were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. You're either righteous or you're a sinner. You have righteousness or you have justification. You're condemned or you're saved. And the Lord's going to judge. It's very simple. He's already made the judgment. In other words, you're going to have to wait till you get to the judgment to see how God takes judgment on what you've done, what you've hidden, what you've said. You don't have to wait on this judgment. He's already told you. If you have received my son, if you believed on my son, you're righteous. You're justified. You're saved. But if you haven't, right now the wrath of God abides on you. You are condemned. Right now you're a sinner. Right now. Without the benefit of the grace of God. Right now. You already know that. So the Lord will judge whether you have eternal life and will spend eternity with Him, or the Lord will judge whether you have not eternal life and will spend eternity with the devil. Let me say it again, because sometimes I say this and people are like, that's just your opinion. Can you read? That's plain English. There's no private interpretation involved here at all. If you have him, you have eternal life, and you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. If you don't have eternal life, you're going to spend eternity in hell with the devil. How are we doing here? Is that pretty clear? You don't have to wait on the judgment to find out where you're going. Or what you currently have. See, it's either this. Do you accept or do you reject? Do you accept or do you reject? I remember we had a tract one time we published, and it came down about how to know if you have eternal life. When you get to the end of the thing, it asks you what decision you've made. Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or do you reject Him? And you know, boy, as soon as you say that, people are like, why do you have to put it like that? Because if you don't accept Him, you reject Him. I mean, at least now. You say, but that's pretty blunt. Yeah, but it's the way you need it. You got to know. Listen, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You will face commendation or condemnation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Commend. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Condemned. Commendation or condemnation? Which do you want? Which do you want? Do you have his righteousness or will you face his wrath? It's only two choices. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Remember back there in Matthew chapter 12, by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You make a confession, what? That Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection is sufficient for your salvation, and that he is now my Lord. I have accepted him. That's a good confession. You see, it's like this, and we'll end it here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your mouth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one whosoever. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the other whosoever. What whosoever do you want to be? He's the judge. You're going to be the whosoever that called upon the name of the Lord, or are you going to be the whosoever that's not found written in the book of life? If you know that you're going to be judged and God already has shown you, I'm going to judge what you do and I'm going to judge what you hide, I'm going to judge what you say, and I'm going to judge where you go based upon what you believe. If there's even an ounce of the fear of God in you, I'd be on my knees right now saying, that's what I will take. I accept. I am not going to reject a God like that. And not an offer like that. Father, we're thankful today that you make it so very, very plain. I realize that it's pretty tough for this generation that likes everything sort of blended to gray in the middle. You make it just as plain as it possibly can be, just like the words that are written here in our Bibles. Black ink on white pages, so we could not possibly miss it. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in a very peculiar, unique way that only you can do amongst us now, visiting every soul whose head is bowed now and helping us to apply what we've heard right now in our lives so that we can be better prepared for the judgment before you. Whether it's to straighten up what we're doing, to get rid of something we're hiding, or to straighten up what we're saying, or to change what we're believing by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.